This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. We'll hear first this week from Voyage of the Scarlet Queen, their episode from January 28, 1948, titled The Bubble Dancer and the Buccaneers. That's followed up by The Zero Hour and its episode from June 4, 1974, titled Floating Down the River.
Entry, The Catch Scarlet Queen, Philip Kearney, Master. Position, 3 degrees, 12 minutes north, 100 degrees, 20 minutes east. Wind brisk, sky overcast. Remarks, departed Penang after discharging cargo and non-paying passengers. Reason for free passage, the Bubble Dancer and the Buccaneers. Days that had passed since we'd cleared Singapore Harbor, weather conditions had changed from calm and fair to roaring gales. And on the fifth night, we were still feeling our way northward through the Malacca Strait.
What a night, Skipper.
You can have it, mate. It was the sloppiest weather we've had since we left the state.
Oh, go on below and get something dry on outside of you and something wet inside of you, Skipper. I'll take over.
Okay, Red. I can use both. I made a few steps toward the cabin passageway when a hail from the bow lookout stopped me. Single passenger when we got her aboard.
All right, easy there. Yeah, we'll get her between us.
Never mind, men. Better put her down in the lee of this hatch. She wasn't in shape to be carried anyplace. I knew when I saw the reddened water that dripped from her clothing that she was suffering from more than exposure.
Here we.
She was dying from bullet wounds.
Here we. Machine gun. Don't blow machine gun.
What?
Stay away. The lights.
No, you're all right. We'll get you ashore as soon as we can. We're heading right for the harbor.
Oh, there is no harbor.
Now, just take it easy. Try to rest.
Listen. I'm all right. I know what I'm saying. Those lights.
What about them?
The ship wrecked following those lights. They were machine guns. Everybody killed.
What?
There's no harbor. Some kind of trap. Those lights. They're rocks. Rocks.
Yeah.
Hey, stand by to come about! Start her about, Red! Start her about if she jives! We're bearing down on a reef!
And so Mutual continues The Voyage of the Scarlet Queen, written by Gil Dowd and Bob Tallman, and starring Elliot Lewis. The Scarlet Queen, proudest ship to plow the seas, bound for uncharted adventure. Every week, a complete entry in the log, and every week a league further in the voyage of the Scarlet Queen.
Gallagher, she's dead. She was full of machine gun slug.
What kind of deal is that?
I don't know. Let's go in the cabin and have a drink, shall we?
Yeah. Are you just going to leave her here on deck, Skipper?
I'll have the crew wrap her in some sailcloth. I'm afraid that's the best we can do for her now. In about 20 minutes and take it to Penang.
What was the name of the ship, did she say?
No. You know what she kept talking about while she could talk?
No, what?
About keeping us off that reef. That's all she talked about.
Hmm.
It's a trap of some kind.
Those boys?
Those boys are strung out to fool you into thinking it's a safe harbor, but they lead right to a reef.
Oh, and that's how her ship was wrecked.
Then when the poor guys tried to land, they were machine guns. From what she said, somebody was operating a big light ashore, picking off all the survivors like clay pigeons.
Sounds like salvage pirates, doesn't it?
Sounds like it. What else?
What is that joint, you know?
No, I'm not so sure of our position in this weather. I haven't had a sextant sight since yesterday. I'm afraid we have to lay to out here until the weather clears before we can find out.
I don't suppose it matters much what the place is, does it, Skipper? They'd be crazy to go in there to investigate with a flock of machine guns waiting for them, wouldn't they?
Sure.
Yeah.
What would they get out of it outside a shot of?
That's right. Well, why don't you pour another drink, Skipper?
Yeah, sure. You know, one way you look at it, she saved the queen.
She? The lady.
Yeah. Maybe even our lives.
Yeah, but we'd be nuts to bust in there and get a ship full of slugs and get knocked around.
Sure. None of our business if somebody's got a paying deal working.
No.
They got her ship, but they didn't get ours. That's what counts.
Yeah. We got a time contract on the cargo we got aboard, haven't we? Yeah. We'd lose a lot of money even if we were only one day late getting to Penang. Isn't that right?
How much? $500.
What?
We'd lose $500.
I'll split it with you, Skipper.
The devil you will, Gary.
Well, I meant it.
My
want...
ship, she saved.
Yeah.
I'll take the loss. Did you think I'd sail away and leave that death trap in operation? Who's ever behind those phony lights is going to have some visitors. Morning broke grim and lowering. The wind had lightened. We stood in toward the island. Giant rocks with razor-sharp edges crouched near the shore like sea monsters with open jaws. We saw the false buoyant leading straight for the rocks. One light even mounted on a cliff ashore. And some wreckage from a ship bobbed in the water. The cliff that faced us had blotted out any view of the other side of the island. But when we started to circle it, we found the real anchorage, a small bay rimmed by a strip of beach. Then out of the brush that bordered the beach, there swarmed the mangiest group of men I've ever seen. Moros, Malays, mongrels. About 20 of them. Armed to the teeth.
Captain Carney, sir, there they are. Shall they open fire?
No, hold it, Nelson. What kind of reception is that? They're waving to us. I don't trust them, Skipper. It's another trick.
Don't worry, Gallagher. I don't trust them either. But you can't open fire in a guy's face when he's holding out his hand to shake you.
Yeah, well, they aren't shaking mine. Look at them. The scum of the sea. And those aren't late Yankees they're waving.
No, they're well armed. Then why didn't they take cover so they could ambush us when we come ashore? Why show themselves and offer a perfect target?
They're tricky, Skipper.
That tall one there, the big guy without a shirt, he must be the boss, huh?
Yeah. Look at him grin. You'll be grinning without those teeth.
Go tell the crew to stay out of sight and stand by, Red. You and I will put the small boat over the side.
Who speaks English?
Here I am, Captain. Come on up.
It was the tall one we spotted from the deck. His features were Korean and scarred. He was built like a wedge from his narrow hips up to his heavy shoulders. The builder spelled trouble.
All right, you men, go on to what you want.
But his greeting made me wonder what kind of trouble.
Welcome, gentlemen. You wasted no time in accepting my invitation, especially considering the storm.
Yeah. Some people weren't so lucky in that storm.
Yes, as a matter of fact, we did catch a little something in our trap last night. Not much, but it ends. But you, of all men, know how that is, huh?
Yeah. Every little bit helps.
Exactly, Captain. Since my ship was smashed on this reef, I've been hard put for profitable occupation. And the salvage work makes me feel that I'm accomplishing something.
Yeah. Nice you can keep your hand in.
Yeah. Just how many ships have you collected?
Half a dozen. All small, but they add up. Sometimes my friend, the sea, sends them to me. And sometimes I, Kim, have to give my old friend a hand.
So you rigged the lights, huh? Kim?
Right. Last night's accident was literally a windfall, coming as it did on the eve of your arrival.
Yeah. Nice stroke of luck.
A little rough on the crew, maybe, but...
Oh, come, my friend. You two are all the sailors as practical as I am, from what I've heard about you. Now, come on, here's the trail to the cat.
Yeah, sure. Tell me, exactly what have you heard about it?
Don't be modest, Captain. Your reputation has preceded you. That's why I was so sure you'd accept my proposition. All three of us have the same appreciation for the prophets of the high seas.
The three of us?
What a trio. I, Kim, the most clever salvage artist of the China coast. And you. Aha.
Yeah, what about us?
Only the most infamous buccaneers of the South Pacific. And I suppose I should feel greatly honored that two such celebrated pirates come when I ask them to.
Oh, now look, you're overdoing it a little, aren't you, Ken?
Hardly, Mr. McPherson. Every skipper in these waters is afraid of Cash Wilson and Scotch McPherson. But tell me, Wilson, how did you and your first mate manage to respond to my proposition so soon? Huh?
Well, it was a matter of luck. A good ship and a good helmsman, McPherson.
Yes, I envy you that ship. One reason I made my offer was the reputation of your catch.
I hope you don't have any salvage ideas.
Yeah, a couple of men did.
We'll make this the fair partnership, char and char alike. Well, Wilson, do we understand each other?
Now, let me get this straight, Jim. We provide the ship, huh?
I thought that was agreed.
What have you got to offer?
Well, like I explained in the message, salvage worth a good price in certain ports. Now, everything is packed and ready to load aboard your ship. It shouldn't take more than a couple of hours. And then we'll leave.
I think.
Lang Kuchar! Hey! Jung Air Bundal! Jung Air Kuchar Kamamoy! Sikai Hayati! Mexico Hayati! Dan Nai Salaya!
Arko Sam Nira! Akira Ha! Kitam Nira!
Malay! 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 Malay!
Miss McPherson?
Yeah, Captain,
Wilson?
You better help Mr. Choi. See that he finds everything okay on the ship.
Yes. I'll go ahead, McPherson, and see that they get started with the loading.
Yeah, okay. Red.
What's the deal, Skipper? What kind of game is this we're playing? Who am I?
I gather you're my mate, and you and I have built up a reputation in these parts as a couple of grade-A pirates.
Oh, that's great. Just great. Well, I guess we better figure something out before somebody hangs us from a yard on.
Red.
Huh?
Let them go on with their loading. Look, and get them all aboard. We'll lock them in a hold and give a nice, fast passage to the British authorities in Penang.
Yeah, but let's hope they don't tumble. That we're not Wilson and McPherson.
All right, stick with them while they're loading the small boat, Red. Get aboard before they do and tip off the crew. Tell them they never heard of Gallagher or Carney. You gotta play it this way.
Okay.
Hold it, huh? Here comes the Russo-Korean. Okay, McPherson, get started.
Okay, I'll see you down.
Right.
It will require about 20 trips in this small boat, Captain.
Oh, okay, Kim. My crew will stow the stuff as your boys put it aboard. McPherson will handle it.
Good, good. Well, that leaves you and me a few hours of leisure in which to get acquainted. Wilson, I can tell you that we're looking forward to getting a deck under our feet again after 3 months of rotting ashore.
Yeah, I can see how you would.
Come with me, Wilson. I believe I have a little surprise for you.
Another?
A pleasant one, I'm sure. This way. It's only a few short steps. Mind the brush.
Wow. This, I take it, is headquarters.
Yes. It is humble, but we're in part in the way of life here. Most of the ships that were unfortunate enough to run aground here were well outfitted, while unfortunately we were not quite able to rescue any of the passengers or crews. We were able to rescue some furniture, even cookstoves and generators for power and light. Here we are, Wilson. What do you think?
Quite a housing project.
Built entirely of salvage materials.
Uh-huh. And this little mansion is where you bought.
If it seems a bit pretentious, there's a reason. As you know.
I have no doubt.
Su Ling not only demands these comforts, in my opinion, she deserves them.
Su Ling?
To no other. I imagine you're looking forward to seeing her again, huh?
Oh, yeah, I am.
I understand that you were old friends. Hey, come on.
Yeah.
Go right in. Well, Su Ling, here is your old friend, Captain Wilson.
Captain Wilson?
She was Chinese and young, in a rough cotton shirt, loose cotton trousers. She looked at me. My hand was moving toward my automatic. She looked at Kim. His fingers were already wrapped around his. Then she looked back at me as if she was waiting for one of us to start something.
Your old friend, my lotus blossom.
But not like my old friend at all.
What is this?
No, you're not acting at all like Cash Wilson I know.
Explain yourself, my dream of love.
Cash, for heaven's sake, is this the way to greet an old friend?
I'm sorry, Su Ling. It's just that
I... Well, that's more like it. Come here, Cash. Let me look at you.
Yeah. Sure. And let me look at you. Baby, you're more beautiful than I realized.
You have not changed, Cash. Still the same sweet liar. But I love it, darling. I really love it.
Yeah. How long has it been, anyway?
San Francisco?
Yeah.
Oh, 4 years at least, I guess, hasn't it?
That long?
The old Manchu Temple on Grand Avenue.
Yeah.
You know how I met this barnacle sea dog, Kim?
By heart, my passion flower. You were doing your,
My artistic oriental interpretive dance. And he broke my balloon with a lighted cigarette. You remember, Cat?
Yeah. I was quite the cut-up in those days.
Well, don't stop now. My husband is a very understanding man. Are you not, Kim?
Very understanding. Up to a point, my little boy.
Well, would you tell me about yourself, Cat? As if I haven't heard.
Well, I guess the word does get around, huh?
You have made quite a name for yourself.
Yeah, I have. Made quite a name for myself.
Well, I owe you an apology, Wilson. For just a moment there, it occurred to me that perhaps you are not Cash Wilson at all.
What gave you that crazy idea?
And the fact that you made no mention of Su Ling after coming here from Singapore on their behalf.
I wasn't quite sure of you either, Kim. Found it pays to be careful of it.
You're right, Wilson. Well, now that I've given you your little surprise, I trust you and my angel of beauty have some old memories to relive for a few minutes. I'd like to have a few words with Mr. McPherson. You'll join me when you're ready.
Yeah, all right. Well, here we are, huh, Su Ling? I'll meet you later. I can't leave him alone with my mate. I gotta get down there.
We'll be right after dark on the beach at the north end of the bay on the blinker.
All right, gorgeous. It's a date.
How are we doing, McPherson?
Doing all right. Skipper will be loaded by sundown.
Good, then we'll leave at dawn.
We'll have to destroy the voyage. I don't like loose
in. Oh, that's easy. Punch of the boys will let the sea cover up for us.
How about the big light up on those rocks?
Never mind. It was here when we came. It's a ship blinker. Who knows? It may serve a useful purpose in some future emergency. It may even save a life.
You're getting charitable, Kemp.
I'm a very charitable man when it does not interfere with my profit.
Ah, you got a great code of ethics.
Like your own, Wilson, it serves my purpose. And I'm honest in my way. That's why I don't bother to remove that blinker light. It's the property of others.
By nightfall, the job was done. The cargo was aboard. And the last boatload of Kim's crew, supervised by Gallagher, were rowing out to the Queen. Kim headed for the camp for a final checkup. I slipped out of sight and started up the beach. Su Ling was waiting for me at the end of the bay.
They are gone?
Yeah. They're all aboard but Kim. He went up to the camp.
And he's looking for me. You say, Captain, whoever you are.
Used to be Phil Carney, and I'm sorry I didn't meet you behind your bubble in that Grand Avenue dive, beautiful. Hey, who is this guy Cash Wilson?
The worst man I ever knew, except my husband. They certainly deserve each other. That is why I suggested we see him in the first place.
You were the one who wanted to bring him together?
Yes, I had a reason. I got Kim to send two of our natives in handmade tampons to Singapore. They had message from me asking Wilson to come. I had my idea. Of course, Kim had his.
What's the rest of the deal?
As soon as he gets aboard, Kim plans to take over your ship.
Yeah?
You know what for?
I'm beginning to catch on.
To use as his own for piracy.
Well, that doesn't surprise me somehow. Where'd you find a nice guy like that to marry?
I would have gotten rid of him. You had not interfered.
Me interfered? The silence could have been in anybody's way. What do you mean?
I talked him into sending for Cash Wilson because I knew they would be at one another's throat over me. And I knew Cash would win. Even that would be better than Kim. And then you show up.
I'm sorry, Su Ling. No matter how you look at it, I'm sorry.
Then why don't you kill him? I warn you. You know what he's going to do? Stop him and get me away from him.
You know I might just do that, Gordon? He doesn't know it, but that's what we came in here for.
You do not know it, Captain Carney. But I'm glad to learn of it before it's too late.
No.
Careful, Captain. There's no truer gun than this.
Then wait! Wait!
First, him. Captain Carney, I must ask you to hand over your gun. Quick! And you, Su Ling, were planning to get rid of me, eh?
No.
Well, I want to thank you for relieving me of you.
No, dear, my dear.
Don't cry. I don't like it. I don't like crying. I said, don't cry. Don't cry.
I was on top of him before he could turn back to me. As quick as he was, I hadn't counted on the strength that he had. But I learned in the space of a few seconds. His right arm was a club and it sent me collapsing into the brush. I didn't go back to the beach. All I could think of was getting away. I ran for a few yards. I realized that I was stopped. The cliff loomed ahead of me. I had to turn and face Kim's bullets or climb. I climbed. I dragged myself upward. Putting my hands where there was no place to grip. Putting my feet where there was no foothold. When Kim stopped firing, I knew why he was starting up the cliff after me.
You won't get away, Connie!
I moved faster. I reached the top and scrambled over the edge. Then I stopped. The big blinker light was a few feet away, blinking out in the straight. Light that Kim had so charitably said might save someone's life. Kim was nearing the top now. I could hear him scrambling up the cliff. I got to the light. I swung it around. I put my shoulder to it. Tilted it down. Till it shone into his eyes.
Carney, what are you doing?
Blinded by the thousands of candle power, he hesitated momentarily, long enough
me to pry loose a boulder with my heel. I kept the light in its face.
I'll get you yet.
I worked the boulder to the edge.
I'll get you.
It balanced for a moment. And then I sent it crashing down. Tim reacted to the sudden pain and missed his foothold. He went for the rocks below.
We didn't wait for dawn. With the incoming tide, we left the bay and headed out into Malacca Strait with more cargo than we'd entered with. The next afternoon, we docked at Penang, discharged our cargo consigned and salvaged, turned our free passengers over to the authorities, and stood out with empty holds in an order to pick up Silicon in Surabaya. There was a good fresh breeze sweeping out from the Malay Peninsula, going to waste and eager to be caught. Gallagher shouted the crew to the job of catching it.
Stop it, chief! Make sail!
The mainsail climbed into place and blossomed out, caught with wind. The jibs went out. Then the mizzen. And the Scarlet Queen, light in the hull from lack of cargo ballast, took a frivolous pitch and skipped like a schoolgirl onto her course.
Well, Captain Wilson,
any sign of some good pirate loot?
That wasn't funny, Red. That Kim wasn't kidding.
Oh, I know he wasn't, Skipper. I was just trying to cheer you up. Did he really mean to kill her, or was that a wild shot he was throwing at you?
It wasn't wild.
Yeah, well, you kind of paid it off, didn't you?
Not the way I would have liked to. I was a little late.
Oh, come on, Skipper. There's a bright side. The Peninsula Company didn't fine us for being late with that cargo. And those cops thanked us for what we did. And we didn't go onto that reef ourselves.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to look at it, Red.
Yeah.
The Queen wouldn't have looked so good hung up on those rocks.
That's right. And we can thank that poor dame on the life raft for saving the Queen.
And our necks, too.
You know, Skipper, we get saved every once in a while by a woman.
Yeah, well, it's kind of handy to have around once in a while.
But I like the one we got around all the time.
Yeah, I'll bet.
To the Queen, Skipper.
To the Scarlet Queen. After you, mate. After you. Log entry. The Ketch Scarlet Queen. 5:30 p.m. Wind fresh. Sky fair. Sea calm. Ship secure for night. Signed, Philip Carney, Master.
Mutual invites you to sail into further adventure on the voyage of the Scarlet Queen next week at this same time. Of the Scarlet Queen stars Elliot Lewis as Phil Carney with Ed Max as Gallagher. And tonight featured William Conrad as Kim with Lillian Baeff as Su Ling. Music scored and conducted by Richard Orant. The Scarlet Queen, produced by James Burton, is written by Gil Dowd and Bob Tolman.
The Voyage of the Scarlet Queen has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
I'm Rod Serling. You're listening to the Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. Today, Glenn Hogg Taylor's tale of a watery grave floating down the river. Starring Greg Morris. in a Mutual Broadcasting System presentation of The Zero Hour. Brought to you by the Ford Motor Company. Also by Beechnut Chewing Tobacco, Shenley Industries, Matus Wine, and International Harvester. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio. This is Hugh Downs with another car buyer's report from Ford. Comparing the total cost of ownership is the only way to be sure you get your money's worth when buying a new car. And Ford says there are three important considerations that make up the total cost of ownership: purchase price, operating economy, and trade-in value. Don't overlook that last one, trade-in value. I'd like to give you some interesting facts about trade-in that are difficult for the average consumer to come by. Like the fact that based on a national average of NADA wholesale prices, both the 1973 Torino and the 1973 Gran Torino returned more of their original purchase price than their closest sales competition. The facts speak for themselves. A solid, well-made car will generally return more at trade-in. Ford says that's one of the reasons why Torino is the best-selling car in its class. The closer you look, the better we look. Captain Patras Salonica, skipper of the river barge St. Christopher, emerges from the tiny cabin near the stern of the craft and gazes at the mist settling in the water. For a moment, Captain Salonica is wrapped in thought. Suddenly, the sound of splashing reaches his ears, and he turns to look toward the rail of the barge. A man is pulling himself from the water and climbing aboard.
Hey, who are you? I said, who are you?
Don't blow your cool. Give me a chance to get my breath.
What are you doing on my boat? Where do you come from?
Oh, what do you think?
What were you doing in the river at night?
I work on the tug. I fell overboard.
Here. Take my hand. I help you get up.
Thanks.
What's the matter? You hurt?
My arm.
Yeah, it's bleeding. Here, can we go to cabin? I take care of your arm. Get you some dry clothes, too. Come on. Here we are. Maria!
What you want?
We have here man fell off talk, need help.
Oh, what happened to his arm?
I'll be okay, miss.
Maria, fix the pillows. Here, mister. We put you on this bunk. Easy. Yeah. I go ashore. I get doctor for you.
No. Oh.
You need doctor.
I don't want no doctor.
Well, I tell you what. Maybe some whiskey help you.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, I have some forward. I get the bottle.
That arm hurt much?
I don't want no doctor. Tell your father that.
He ain't my father.
No?
He's my husband. Why don't you want a doctor?
I just don't, that's all. I'll straighten myself out in a little while. Let me stay here, huh?
You want to stay here?
Yeah.
I'll fix it so he don't get a doctor.
Hi, I'm Harry Dallas, Detective Homicide.
Yeah, glad to know you. I'm Dean Rockford. River Patrol. We're looking for a truckload of booze, but the grappling hooks haven't latched on anything yet.
I know what you were looking for.
Huh?
Yeah. My partner and I, he's still over in an unmarked car listening to the radio. Chase the truck down here.
Wait a minute. Fill me in. How did it start?
Well, robbery and Bunko got a tip about a plot to hijack this load of whiskey at a warehouse a few miles from here.
Huh.
We were cruising near there when we got this code on the radio, so we rolled on it. Arrived just in time to see the truck barreling out of the place. We tailed it along the river road down here. The driver must have panicked because he turned off the road onto the dock and just kept going. Sailed right off the end.
Was the driver still in the truck?
Well, we know he didn't jump. We got on the mic right away and reported to headquarters.
Did you learn anything?
Yeah. There were two guys in on the job. There was some shooting. Watchman got killed. One of the hijackers took a slug in the chest. The ambulance took him to county emergency. Second guy got creased, so if he got it too bad, he might not have made it out of that cab.
Did you talk with the guy before they took him to the hospital?
No. He's out colder than yesterday's meatloaf. How long do you think it'll take to retrieve the truck?
Can't make a guess yet. Probably take until morning.
Figure. Well, I think we'll wheel over to County Hospital and see if the wounded guy's able to talk yet. Be sure we're kept posted.
Right, will do.
So long, Rock.
See you soon. By the way, as long as we're going to be working together on this, I think it'd be quicker if you just call me Dean.
Right. In case you didn't catch it, Harry's my first name. See you, Dean.
Good morning. Finally woke up, huh?
Hi.
Sleep good?
What time is it?
Nearly 10. Like some coffee?
Sounds fine. Where's your husband?
On deck, working. Coffee's all made. I'll pour you some.
Your name's Mary, ain't it?
Yeah, how'd you know?
Heard him call you that last night.
Here you are. Oh, careful, it's hot.
Much obliged. My name's Al.
Well, I guess we're introduced. I done like he asked me, Al. Talked him out of going for a doctor.
I kind of thought you would, baby.
I told him you felt a lot better.
I wish I did. Especially now that you and me... that arm hurts.
I went ashore this morning. I had to do some shopping. The checker at the supermarket told me that last night a truck went off the dock about a quarter of a mile up the river. Some guy was in it. The truck was stolen.
No kidding. Was the guy drowned?
At first they thought he was. But when they got the truck out, there wasn't nobody in it. Now they ain't sure.
What do they think happened to him?
I don't know, but I think he got away. I didn't say nothing to my husband about it.
Why?
It might get the guy in trouble.
Why are you putting yourself on his team?
Because it takes guts to do what he did.
You like that, huh?
I think it's super.
And I think you are, kid. Tell me something. How come you married an old seagull like the skipper?
I don't know. I expect it was because he was nice to me. He treated me like a lady. Not like just another broad.
You could have done better than him with what you got. Or maybe that's what you wanted.
You out of your gourd. I hate living on this dirty scow. Go no place, see nothing, do nothing. I ain't old like him. I want to swing.
Maybe that could be arranged.
How?
Tell you what, babe, I'll make you a deal. You fix it with that old guy so as I can lay low on this tub for a while. And when it's time I should split, you pack your duds and come with me.
I was hoping you'd say that. Would you kiss me, Al? Well, that was mighty good, lover boy.
If you think that was good, babe, wait till I can grab you with both arms.
Here, honey, this is for you.
Oh, George, what a nice surprise. What is it?
It's a tire gauge.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
What's a tire gauge?
Well, you check your tire pressure. Well, it helps you get better mileage.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got it free from our participating international dealer just for looking at the new international travel all.
A new international travel all?
Yeah.
What's a travel all?
Well, it's something like our old station wagon.
Our old station wagon?
Except the travel all's a foot and a half shorter, so it's much easier for you to park.
Our old station wagon?
Yeah, and it has 20% more room inside. More room for you and the kids, more room for groceries. We'll get lots more use out of it.
Our old station wagon?
And right now, until July 20th, you get 4 Firestone gas-saving steel-belted radial tires on most models at no extra cost.
But where is...
And they're worth $290, suggested retail price.
George, where's the new travel all?
Right outside the window.
Oh, George, it's different.
I know.
I like different.
I know.
Different, all right.
Good morning, Harry.
Morning, Dean. Report came in, huh?
Yeah, just before I telephoned you. Pull up that chair, we'll go over it.
What's the scoop?
Well, as you know, we finally pulled the truck up.
Yeah, how about the driver?
The door next to the driver's seat was open. Now, of course, he still could have been drowned, but they've been dragging the river for the body. And what did you find out?
Well, his pal in the hospital finked on him just a little while ago. Driver's name's Al Morgan.
That name rings a bell.
Yeah, robbery and bunco sent him up a few years ago. He's a rough one.
Any leads on where he lives or any places he hangs out?
Not yet, but we're checking.
I played a hunch early this morning. It didn't work out, though.
What was that?
There's several barges tied up downriver. I figured that if he was still alive, he might have holed up on one of them, so I checked them all, but none of the captains could give me anything.
Morgan's pal told me he was shot in the arm. He could have handicapped him, so maybe he didn't survive. Or maybe he made it and still hiding out someplace ashore. None of us like that short sentence he pulled last time. This time it's murder. If we can grab him, maybe we can put him in a slam for keeps.
Maria.
Shh. He's sleeping.
Still?
He woke up once and he had coffee. He's real pooped.
Well, I want to speak with him about something.
What is it, Patrick?
It's very important. He must tell me something.
I wasn't sleeping. What's so important?
A river patrol officer stopped by a little while ago. He was looking for a man who drove a stolen truck into the river last night.
Now look, Patrick.
You be quiet, Maria. I did not tell the officer about this man yet, but I would like to ask him some questions.
Like what, mister?
Well, I would like you to tell me the name of the tug on which you worked. The one you say you fell off.
If you gotta know, it was the Queen Mary.
Don't be funny with me, young man. I have been what you might call a good sport, but I am captain here. I have good reputation. I cannot afford to do things against the law.
So?
So I think you are the man the officer is looking for.
And if I am?
Then I turn you in.
I'll level with you, Pop. I'm the guy, but you ain't turning me in.
He stays here, Maria. Patrick.
I always give you good advice. I try to make you know what is right and wrong. Do not do this.
I say he stays here.
But Maria, this man is bad. He's a dangerous criminal. Why you take his side in this? You, my wife.
Why do you think?
Kind of looks like I stay, don't it, Pop?
You mean you and my wife? Oh, you don't do this to Captain Salonika. Out of my way, mister. I go get police right now.
I wouldn't do that if I was you.
You don't stop me.
Look out for each other's arms.
I still got a good one left, baby.
Oh, do you think knocking him out is enough?
Do you?
No.
Baby, you and me are going to get along just great. Open the door. I'm going to drag him out on deck.
My daddy was a mighty fine man. He taught me a thing or two. A woman can hurt, so you stay on your guard and beach nuts the tobacco you chew. Them times we'd go fishing, my daddy and me, he'd tell me everything he ever knew. He'd go after big mouth in close to the bank and beach nuts the tobacco you chew. Around here, beach nuts the word for chewing tobacco. And it's been that way, father and son, for a long, long time. What's the secret? It's the way beech nut just keeps getting better. Like beech nut's a lot moister these days, with more taste and less stems. Big improvements. You ought to try today's beech nut chewing tobacco. And now I'm a daddy with a son who's full grown, and I tell him a thing or two. Scared money don't win, evil women drink gin, and beech nut's the tobacco you chew.
Dean Rockford.
Dean, Harry Dallas. I'm calling about the body your crew picked out of the river just after dawn this morning.
You been to the morgue?
Mm-hmm. It's not Al Morgan. It's the body of a barge captain.
Murder?
We suspect it. No knife or bullet wounds on the body and no signs of strangling or blunt instrument work.
You think someone, maybe Morgan, might have killed him?
It's possible. He might have gotten rid of him so he could use the barge as a hideout.
Any identification on him?
None. Why don't you go over to the morgue and see if you can recognize it?
Right. I'll get on it right away.
Homicide, Dallas speaking.
Harry, Dean Rockford. Listen, I'm calling from the morgue.
Recognize the guy?
Yeah, he's one of the barge captains I questioned, all right. The only problem is I don't remember his name or which barge he was on, but I'm going to check it out.
How?
Well, I'll have to do it the hard way. By boarding every one of those barges until I can find the right one.
Morning, Miss...
Salonika. And it's Mrs., not Miss. What's the River Patrol want on board the St. Christopher?
Oh, just routine, Mrs. Salonika. I'm Officer Rockford. I'm checking all the barges along here. The body was taken from the river today. The man happened to be a barge captain. Is your skipper aboard?
No. My husband, he's the captain, went ashore about 10 minutes ago.
Well, I'm glad to hear that he's okay. One of the other barge captains told me the description I gave might fit your husband.
You know something? Captain Whittaker, two barges down the river, is sometimes mistaken for my husband. How would you describe the man you're looking for?
Oh, about 55, gray hair, 5'6" maybe. My guess would be he weighed around 160.
Could fit Captain Whittaker. I'd try if I were you.
Second dock down, you said?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. I'll get right down.
The fuzz gone?
Yeah. You heard, huh?
I heard, baby. You handled it real good.
But that don't mean he won't be back. What can we do?
Well, I told you. I'd take you away from this tub so we could do some swinging together. Now I can keep my word.
When do we go?
Right now, baby. Right now.
So you think this might be the payoff?
Could be. I could kick myself for letting that woman con me.
How'd she con you?
She told me this Captain Whittaker looks like her husband. So I went to see him. The minute I got aboard, I knew I'd been had. Whittaker looks nothing like Salonika. For my money, she's had something to do with her husband getting that permanent donkey.
We'll soon find out. There's a St. Christopher. Pull over there on that dock.
There's nobody aboard this tub.
Doesn't seem to be. But let's not take any chances. Stand back while I open the cabin door.
No one in there.
Let's take a look around. See what's in those drawers.
Man's clothes. Only a few woman's things.
Probably made a run for it. How about that locker?
Same here. Man's coats and pants at this end. Empty hangers at the opposite end. Should be where her things have been hanging. How about that wastebasket? Anything there?
Oh, just a bunch of papers and a... Uh-oh. Your hunch was probably right. Al Morgan could have been here. Look, a bloody bandage.
Yeah, we're getting warm. I'll wrap the bandage in a towel and take it along.
Here's an envelope addressed to Mrs. Salonika. According to this, she gets her mail in care of general delivery at the main post office. I'm going to save this envelope. Might give us a lead.
Save the stamps. They're genuine antiques. 11-cent airmails.
Let's get back to the car. I want a radio for an APB on Mrs. Salonika and Al Morgan. Then, just for insurance, you and I are going to stake out that general delivery window for the next few days.
I wonder who that is.
I know.
Hey, sir, who's this? Charlie! So-and-so. Come on, we want to buy a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the
party,
girl.
That's a couple of drunks.
Hey, Charlie.
Well, get rid of them, will you?
Okay, okay. Shut up, you guys. What do you think you do?
Police. Thanks for opening up. Saves a lot of trouble. Come on, face the wall.
You too, sister.
What's the big idea?
The big idea is murder, Mrs. Salonika. We've got witnesses who saw your friend Al Morgan kill the watchman at the warehouse. And with your help, we're going to tie him into the death of your husband.
How did you know where we were?
We followed you from the post office. Which reminds me, Mrs. Salonika, you're going to have a change of address card.
Matus is an old-world rosé wine people enjoy everywhere. Like down in the Delta, they know the blues are what you make it, and that the light, easy-to-like taste of Matus Rosé makes the meal.
Hey, hey, Matus Rosé.
Man, on the West Coast, Matus is out of sight, but you see it everywhere. And in New England, Matus Rosé is perfect for that elegant evening on the town. Matus, the rosé wine that goes with everything good, anywhere, anytime at all.
Matus Rosé.
Imported by Dreyfus Ashby & Company, New York, New York.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes. Exercise your imagination. And join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
Floating Down the River is an original radio drama adapted by Glenn Hall Taylor. Greg Morris was heard as Harry Dallas. Featured in the cast were Dick Ryan, Jack Crucian, Jimmy Tyler, and Jerry Dexter. Zero Hour, created by J.M. Coates, directed by Don Hughes, is produced in Hollywood for the Mutual Broadcasting System by Radio Productions Incorporated. Music is composed and conducted by Stanley D. Hoffman, Rochelle Sherman, associate producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. If you want to hear more from Scarlet Queen, more from Zero Hour, more old-time radio, or find everything else Relic Radio, just visit relicradio.com. You'll also find links there to our forum, Shoutcast stream, Facebook page, Twitter, and if you'd like to help support it all, a donate button. It's how this is all made possible. Thank you very much to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. I'll talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.